This is brother and a pastor, Dave Lewis, here with his family. He's a good friend. And please prepare your heart to listen to what he has to say this morning. And brother, you know, I was here at the 8. Bring it, okay? I'm going to pray for him, and we're just going to ask the Lord to help us have ears to hear. Father God, we love you because you first loved us. I just lift you, my brother Dave, and ask, please, that you, Holy Spirit, would speak through him. And would you uncork our ears to hear what we need to hear this morning? I ask this, Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Good morning. Welcome to Granite Hills Baptist Church. See, I got it right. All right. Not welcome to Quinn River Baptist Fellowship, which is usually what I say, and every now and again it comes out, welcome to Granite Hills Baptist Fellowship. And they look at me like, do you know where you are? So good morning. I will tell you a little bit about us because some of you may not know us. Most of you probably do. Came to salvation in this church, in that back corner right there, in case you're wondering. That's my corner. All right. Lord led us here through an ending marriage to the woman I'm still married to. And I was describing earlier God's infinite wisdom and knowledge of what's coming was way beyond what I ever would have conceived of or tried to come up with on my own. In the midst of that ending marriage, my wife came to get her hunting certificate, whatever you call that thing, and she came to this church for it. Hunter education. Thank you so very much. And that was what initially brought us here. And I wouldn't have planned that. I wouldn't have planned an ending marriage to draw me to Christ. It wasn't what I would have planned. Usually when you think of like all the good things, you think of all the happy things that led you to, you know, the birth of your baby and things like that. And it was that ending marriage that brought us here. And then it was Christ who led us to salvation. And it was Christ that led us out to McDermott, Nevada. I would not have chosen McDermott, Nevada. I would not have chosen to live in between the Indians and the Cowboys. It wouldn't have been my preference, right? Rural living I can get behind, right? Big pond, nice place to fish, right? Something that brings in the animals because I'm a fat kid. I like to hunt what I eat, right? Something like that I could get behind. But this rural location that is so very lost, it wouldn't have been my first choice. And Mark asked, well, when was the first time you went out there earlier? And our first trip out to McDermott was January of 2015. Our friends were out there ministering at that time, and we wanted to go hang out with them. That was the reason why we went out there. And so God used that. 2 weeks later, we went back out for a Sunday service. They were having services once a month there at the time. So we just went out there for the Sunday service. And as we're going home, we're talking, and I'm like, man, I really feel like God's calling us here. And Ash is like, yeah, I felt the same way. And I was like, great. Some confirmation, great. And so we got called out to this place to go. And do you know my initial plan when I went out there? Mine, you heard that, right? My initial plan when I went out there was simply to be a deacon to Brother Tommy. That was my plan. That's what I felt called to go do. And quickly, after we finally gave in, because that's what it took. It took giving in. I've told you guys before, I was listening one night to the rappers Lecrae and Flame, and the song Flame by Flame, Move, came on. And as the song's playing, I'm bawling. Because I knew God was calling me to go already, and I hadn't done it. I hadn't done it. The next day, I had to put in my transfer to McDermott. I keep coming back to that term, McDermott. Now, part of what Pastor Mark asked me to do was talk about what's going on in McDermott. And I've been blessed over the last 6 months to really see a change in our church and to really be able to talk about what's going on there. And that's service within our community. And that's a big deal for them. They're a hard-hearted people, all of them. The ranching society in general is stubborn, right? It's what keeps them there. It's the only reason why they're there. It's the only reason why you have beef on your table is because they're stubborn. And they're hard people to talk to. The people that live with them are the same way because otherwise they would leave. And so knowing that, this idea that they want to serve other people other than themselves is huge. And that's probably one of the things that I've seen over the last 6 months that's just, it amazes me because it is nothing but God doing what God does with his people. And so they've begun to act like they should as believers of Christ. He has brought new workers in just recently. The couple moved to McDermott, Nevada. And of course, the first thought in my mind when anybody moves to McDermott, Nevada is, what is wrong with you? Right? Obviously, there is something wrong with me, right? I'm a state trooper. I stand next to the highway as people drive by at 80 miles an hour. There's something wrong with me. I already know that. But what's wrong with them was my first question. And so as this question came in, the gentleman who's actually preaching for me today, who's filling the pulpit, and his wife, who's teaching Sunday school, said to me, hey, how can we help you? Okay, who are you? Who paid you? How'd you get here? And just that understanding that these people showed up. He's a previous pastor from Longview, Oregon. She's a Cubby's teacher. You know, and Awana is something that's near and dear to our heart. And so just the fact that they show up out of nowhere was kind of like, wow, crazy. All right, I don't know what's going on. You know, God provided these people. And again, he provided the people who are making it possible for us to be here today. And so God's infinite wisdom, he's leading people to where they need to be. Well, it turns out an old couple of Rockhounds moved to McDermott, Nevada, because, well, guess what we have plentiful of in Nevada? Yeah, we got rocks and dirt, like large quantities of it. And so they moved here. They'd been to the church a couple times. They told their friends, hey, there's this church there. They love Jesus. You should see it. And so guess what they do? They moved to McDermott, Nevada, right? Again, I don't know what's wrong with them. They came there, and they were just, hey, we're here to help. How can I help you? Within, like, the first week, he's already, like, putting out designs in front of me, like, hey, can we put this in the front of the church? And I'm like, I don't know about that. But he's ready. He's like, let's do this. Let's get somebody to drive by and go, hey, I need to go in there and see what they're all about. And so just that was a great thing to have that person who's got this desire to serve come to our church with vision, exactly. And guess who that was? That was all God. It wasn't anything like we did. It was because God put us there. So I got to see this. And then I get to see this church actually having a desire to engage their community and a strengthening within the body. And for that church, that's huge. They've been separated for so long just within their midst. And you know, one of the things about like old churches, like they've been around since like 1962. I had to ask one time, and I guess it was just this last week, I asked, you know, how is it possible that a church has been here for that long? And when we show up, there's pretty much just a defunct church. How is that possible? And, you know, of course, I'm talking to the people, specifically one lady who's kept that church going that entire time, making sure there was still money in the banks, making sure the bills still got paid. Apparently somebody was still cutting the lawn, right? She was there, and I asked that, and you know what her response was? Leadership. I was like, exactly. That's exactly what it was. That's what they kept losing. It's what they kept having a problem with. And it comes back to that understanding of what we're all called to do, and that's be leaders for Christ. To be called out, to go out and tell the world, hey, this Jesus Christ loves you more than anything else in the world. So much so that he died upon the cross for you. And so we come to this idea, like we're seeing them come together as a body, come together with a purpose. And we talked to them about, hey, we'd like to do a feed at Thanksgiving, and we want to serve us everything. And they're like, okay, we want to feed, we want to make the food, we want to give them the food, right? Like everything. So you're the entire short order cook, right? That's what we want to do. Serve this community in a way that generally they don't get served. We're a potluck community. You bring the potluck, people show up, right? But that's what we want to do, actually serve. And they were all on board. Hey, how can we use music to get them to know Jesus Christ? How can we make the centerpieces and dioramas and stuff so that they can go and say, hey, this is this Christ that they're speaking of. How can we do that? And they were just bought in fully. And for us, it's just an amazing thing. Another portion of what's going on in there is, I told you that the Lord brought us this couple. And at the same time, my pulpit supply disappeared. It's strange. So my good friend Craig, I've known him since I was 5 years old. We went to church together. We weren't saved in that church. We didn't know Jesus in that church. We were college roommates for 3 years there, lifelong friends. And one week I told him, hey, you should come out and see the kids because the kids want to see you, which is true. That's a true statement. They always want to see their Uncle Craig. And he's like, oh, cool. Who's preaching? And I said, you are. And he's like, huh? And he told me the other day, he's like, yeah, I was telling the church that you tricked me into it. And I'm like, yeah, well. It was the Lord leading him. I could see that the Lord was leading him. He could see that the Lord was leading him. And so now, my pulpit supply just disappeared because he's now the pastor of Wells Baptist Church. So even though one thing in my eyes was disappearing, right? My pulpit supply, well, how am I supposed to go on vacation? We're far too in love with our vacations, I'll be honest with you. How am I going to do that? Well, guess what? God supplied it. Right? So he's using this small church in the middle of nowhere to raise up the next pastors, the next leaders of his churches. And we sometimes forget that, right? Because we like to see things from our comfort or our desires, but he's calling us to something. And what is that? What is that calling that we have? Service. According to whose will? His. Yeah. And so that's what we have going on in McDermott, Nevada, right? Our Lord is mighty beyond compare. Now it's asked to talk about, all right, what are we doing here? Now, here's is a relative term, right? You guys know that, right? That you don't just live here. Does anybody here live at Granite Hills? I know some of you feel like you live at Granite Hills. But do you actually live at Granite Hills? No. And so, you know, we talk about this mission field. What is it to be on mission? And so my first question this morning was, where do you work? Because that's probably where you should start. And somebody's got to know where they work, right? Where do you work? Somebody answer. Renown. UNR. What do you do at Renown? See. Right. You ever talk to those people? Yes. All right. You, do you ever talk to people at UNR?
Yeah.
You actually have to talk to people? Oh, man. We have everyday occurrences where we get to talk to people. All right, we get to. I don't like talking to people. Who here likes to talk to people? See me? Hands not up. Okay? I don't like talking to people. For the last 14 years of my life, pretty much every conversation I've had has ended with a yeah, but. Yeah, but. Well, yeah, but I mean, I was only doing like 110, right? Well, cool, it's a 70. Yeah, buts. And so for a while, what it has done has kind of made me cynical. I won't lie, I'm a cynical person. Why? Because when I deal with humanity, it's on some of the worst days. There's nothing good about my conversations generally with humanity. But we get an opportunity, and we're called to speak into people's lives. And sometimes we think to ourselves that we always have to be like quiet at work about Jesus, right? That all of our conversations have to be kind of covert and quiet. Or we think the only way I can talk about Jesus is loud and proud. But it should be both. We should live in a manner that's quiet, that we're not rabble-rousing, but that shows everybody who we belong to. And we should be loud and boisterous enough to tell them there is a Jesus Christ. He alone saves. He alone died for your sin. He is the only way to heaven. We should do that. Oftentimes, most of my speaking into people's lives is in relation to my fellow coworkers and their phone calls. And half the time, it's their desires to kill each other, right? Police officers, we're mostly crazy, right? You have to be to do what we do. We're type A personalities. We always think we're right. All right, and I leave it with the think. I always think I'm right. Sometimes I am, right? But they have that, like, hey, this guy just said this to me. And I get to, like, answer them, like, okay, and? Well, they can't talk to me that way. Okay, and? You're a grown man. Move on. But they know when they call that the information they're going to get from me, the counsel they're going to get from me, comes from one place, and that's from God. That it has been prayed on. That it has been compared to the Word of God. They know that. Whether they admit to it or not, they know it. Hey, I talked to the crazy pastor just now who sat in my car for 2 months. They already know pretty much where I come from. Sometimes I'm blessed to get to arrest people, and then I put them in the back of my car, and then I blare Christian music for an hour as we drive to the jail. And somewhere midway through, I always hear this, excuse me, yeah, are you a Christian? Why, yes, I am. Right? I'm blessed to get to do that. They have to listen to that Jesus, 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 Jesus music all the way down. They get that opportunity to hear that. Now, I could go on ad nauseum for hours talking about work. Guess what? Our job is to rep Christ everywhere we go. Everywhere we go. Beyond our jobs. Because a lot of times, we do love our jobs, right? What do you love about your job? You enjoy it. The actual work. Okay? Who else? Diagnosing. What was that? Camaraderie. All right. How many of you guys like to eat? Yeah, let's be honest. We like the money that comes at the end of the work. But how in love with that money are you? Would you give up your job for it? Would you give up your job for Christ? That's the real question. And at some point, you're going to have to come with the understanding of whether or not you're willing to do that. Whether or not you're willing to say, hey, enough is enough. I'm not going to be quiet in the back seat when they're telling me that I have to be okay with abortions. I'm not going to be okay with that. Hey, guess what? It's not okay to murder babies. And that's the end of the story. And we have to have that understanding. And we need to have that conversation with ourselves when we're looking at work, like, hey, I need to be ready for this so that I can handle it, that I can speak into someone's life. Hey, man. Here's this Jesus that, in spite of all these awful things in the world that we might get caught up in, he loves you. He loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son for you. That's where we get to start here, as looking at, you know, what is it that God is calling us to? When I start looking at what God is calling our particular church to, we've been in the seven letters to the seven churches of Asia Minor. The beginning of Revelations and Revelations 2 and 3. You know one of the best parts about that is? Because we get to look at all the things that they did wrong and all the things that they did right. And we get to go, hey, where are we failing like they did? Where am I failing like they did? And then I get to go, hey, here's what they did right. And look, we're on that same path. That helps too. Hey, you're not all doing everything wrong. How many of you guys like to hear that you're doing everything wrong all the time? Nobody. And Christ knows that. Christ knows us. And yet he sent these letters to say, hey, look, here's how we can get better. Here's how we can follow after him the way that we're supposed to follow. Sometimes our greatest work for the kingdom is done in the back room, right? It's that quietness when we're talking with friends and family. It's that quietness when we're talking to our coworkers and we're trying to get them from jumping off the cliff. Don't forget that all of your life needs to be for that purpose. Speaking truth into the life of someone who has never heard truth and being gentle in the application of it. I will tell you, I fail on that a lot. Gentle is not my greatest character. It is something that the Lord is working on me with. Some days, super gentle. Some other days, not so much, right? And as you can see, I'm always somewhat loud. Like, I want to tell you, there is no excuse for not doing what God calls you to do. No excuse. When I was crying in my bed because God was putting move in my head, and I knew that I was not doing what he was telling me to do, I did that only because I knew I wasn't where I belonged. I wasn't following the way that he had called me. I wasn't doing it. It's easy to let that stuff get in the way, but we can't do that, right? Because God is calling us to this. Now, why? Why is he telling us to go and tell people about Christ? Well, I'm glad you asked. Would you turn in your Bibles to Matthew, the 24th chapter, verse 3. Matthew, the 24th chapter, verse 3. The Word of God says this. As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered them, "See that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another, and many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." There's your answer right there. Then the end will come. Every person you've ever met is in one of two places. They are either serving God or they serve the devil. There is no in between. Everybody you have ever met, everybody living right this very minute, is in one of those two places. And there's a consequence for those who are not of God. Go to verse 36. "But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake. For you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake, would not have left his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that wicked servant says to himself, my master is delayed, and begins to beat his fellow servants, and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Brothers and sisters, here's the answer. We're called to it. As we look through the scripture, Christ speaks constantly about what is coming. That word there is, not might be, may happen, may possibly could have, and if, but. There's none of that in there. It says is going to happen. This is the one truth we have. It's true because it comes from the only Creator, whose only Son's name is Jesus Christ. And he calls us and says, hey, that time is coming where none of these ifs, ands, or buts are going to matter. It will only matter if they have accepted the free gift of salvation. It will only matter if their sin has been conquered through the blood of Jesus Christ. It will only matter if they've been raised to walk in newness of life. They will either have eternal life with Jesus, or they will have eternal life separated from him, where there will be punished righteously for the crimes they have committed against God, and there will be the gnashing of teeth. They either have freedom from sin because of Christ has paid their penalty, or destruction because of their sin. How many of you guys think that a couple years back, the people sitting in the rows at the air races were thinking to themselves, man, I'm ready. I'm ready for a plane to crash into me right now. Oh, that would be so lovely. They weren't ready for it in that moment. If they had been ready, what would they have done? They would have left. They would have gone somewhere else. They would not have been there. And the truth of the matter is, none of us are promised today. None of us are promised tomorrow. None of us are promised 30 seconds from now. And we have a world that is slipping away. Really, they're not slipping. They're running pale mail towards it. It's why God has called us to evangelism. We use that term like it's something like scary. But no, our job is to go and tell people about Jesus Christ. That's what your job is. Every moment of every day, you need to look at your life. Okay, am I fulfilling my job today? Is what I'm doing right now benefiting the kingdom of Jesus Christ? If the answer is no, what do you know? You're doing something wrong. Sometimes I get caught up in binge watching the latest trending show on, you know, Netflix or Amazon. Though the Netflix thing's gone away, I got rid of it. I get caught up in it, and then now what's just happened? 15 hours of my life have disappeared. Disappeared. And you know what happens when I'm done with that show? I'm like, oh, Lord, what have I just done? I've wasted that time. How much scripture do you think you can read in 15 hours? God tells us to be ready in season and out of season. Always ready. To be able to tell others about what Christ has done for us. See, that testimony thing is something that's kind of amazing because it's so impossible to refute. It is what God has done to me. And we get the benefit of being able to tell everybody. Brothers and sisters, there will be nobody on earth who can say that they didn't have the opportunity to know Christ. The Bible tells us that if you will seek him, you will find him. Those who seek will find. It's a choice. If you have a question about that, do you have one of these? I got like 5 Bible apps on here. There's nowhere I can't go and get service and read the Bible, read the Word of God. There's no excuse. I can go into Walmart, spend 10 bucks and get one of these, or the dollar store and pay a buck and get one. There won't be any question when that time comes. It's why He has called us to this. It's why we have to take the time and step back and look at ourselves. Hey, am I doing what God has called me to do? And if not, do you know what the Bible says that we're supposed to do as believers? If we're not following after the way God has called us to do it, repent, turn, run the other direction towards what God has called us to. So often we get caught up in this idea that repentance was that thing we did that one time. No, this is an ongoing thing. Father, I'm sorry. Lead me in the direction I'm supposed to be going. Give me a desire that follows after You, not the desires of myself, because my desires are evil. You know what my desires always look like when God tells me to do something? Well, how does it make Dave Lewis look better? Right? Hey, why don't you put in for a sergeant's position? You don't want it. You don't want to work for the people who are in charge of it. But hey, go put in for it. Why? God's already called me to what I'm supposed to be doing. Why am I seeking after things? And so guess what you have to do? Once you say yes to the sergeant's test, all right, now I got to go repent for that now too. Why? Because I won't just listen when He tells me to listen. Brothers, sisters, that's our calling, is to follow after Him. Nobody else. Nobody else. Christ alone. That is our calling. If you don't get anything else from today, there is a Christ that loves you. How do I know? Because He loved me. Because He loves me. Because He took a broken man who was so in love with himself that his marriage was ending. That He took a man who had no desires outside of his own, but his own castle and his own kingdom. They tore him down, thank goodness. Thank the Lord. He tore those down. And brought me to the knees in the back of this little church. He gave me life everlasting for the first time. I was dead in my sins and trespasses. I tell you, if you're that person today, do not let another moment slip by, because you are not promised anything past this moment. You can just as easily get killed out there on Red Rock. Seen it happen a million times. People who didn't have time to die, there they are dead on the side of the road. If you don't know Jesus that way, just call out to Him. He's waiting. He's waiting. They even pinned Him upon the cross. You can see where His hands were. Open for you, for me. We're going to close here. I will tell you, if you feel the Lord leading you today to Him, if you hear His calling, come forward and share it with us.